It all sat extremely uneasily with him, especially because, while he knew his former boss to be a very honourable man, he now heard rumours that Clark was friendly with certain of the USRC directors. Worse than that, he possibly had some indirect business relations with some of the directors of a company with a controlling interest in USRC, who were schoolmates of his. And Berry even learned that Clark is, or was, up to a very recent time, a stockholder in USRC. "I have," Berry said with trepidation, "a great fear in the situation." In the Essex County Courthouse in Newark, its elaborate murals are dedicated to four things: mercy, justice, peace, and power. In this case, Berry mused, the last seemed cruelly apt. Clark himself wrote to the women, "I want to express to you my very great personal sympathy and my earnest hope that some way will be found of helping your physical condition." And it was the women, at the end of the day, for whom this settlement was everything. They had come out on top. They had never thought they would live to see the day. "I am glad to have the money," commented Albina with a smile, "because now my husband will not have to worry so much." Her sister Quinta added, "The settlement will mean so much, not only to me, but to my two little children and my husband. I want to rest after this ordeal I've been through. I'd like to go with them to some seaside resort." She pronounced herself dissatisfied with the terms, but said, "I am glad to be free from the worry of the court, and am pleased with the thought of receiving the money right away." "I think Mr. Berry, my lawyer, has done wonderful work," Edna enthused gratefully. "I'm glad to get the settlement. We couldn't have waited much longer. It will mean a lot of things we want, for as long as we can appreciate them." Catherine simply said, "God has heard my prayers." It was really only Grace who expressed a more muted response. She said she was quite pleased. "I'd like to get more, but I'm glad to get that. It will help in so many ways. It will alleviate some of the mental anguish." She added of their courage in bringing the lawsuit in the first place, and of what they had achieved so publicly. "It is not for myself I care. I am thinking," she said, "more of the hundreds of girls to whom this may serve as an example. You see, it's got us. So many more of us than anybody knows yet." Chapter 32. Ottawa, Illinois, June 1928. The New Jersey settlement made international headlines and the front page of the Ottawa Daily Times. "More deaths raise radium paint toll to 17, screamed the paper. "A startling jump in the toll of radium poison victims." The girls in the radium dial studio were petrified. It wasn't as though they didn't have anything to worry about. Ella Cruz had died last summer, and several former workers weren't well. Mary Duffy Robinson, Inez Corcoran-Valla. The Ottawa paper, which the girls pored over with increasing panic, said the first manifestation of radium poisoning was decay of the gums and teeth. Peg Looney, whose tooth extraction from last year still hadn't healed, felt sick to her stomach. "The girls became wild," remembered Catherine Wolfe. "There were meetings at the plant that bordered on riots. The chill of fear was so depressing, we could scarcely work, scarcely talk of our impending fate.